fed a steady paycheck in it, I'll be big and safe.
Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade
group. Oswald has been shot.
This is the special leprechaun flu.
A series of tubes.
Your wife's a Bigfoot, isn't she, Jesse?
Focus, non-terminal repeating phantasm.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh, shit, those are aliens.
You know ex-Special Forces Operative Stephen King.
He's stealing all my mom's.
Welcome to Podcast 1289.
Wait, why don't we have a Black Sabbath discussion? Because I was listening to that all day today, and I'm like, I'm just sitting here in awe. Like, fucking Black Sabbath is the progenitor to every single goddamn metal band you've heard, you hear today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every single one. And I don't want to hear that bullshit like Led Zeppelin. I don't know. Led Zeppelin had, like, one song that kind of sort of sounded metal-y. I think it was Immigrant Song, but, like,
sounds cool.
Black Sabbath was the one band that was like, you know what, everybody's fucking playing, like, love, peace, and all that. We're going to sing songs about Satan and monsters and gremlins and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, but the blues talked about the devil.
No. The freaking blues, I mean, yeah, they had stuff like that, but it was always like, the devil left me an evil woman. G-E-A chord. No, like, the blues was morose. Fucking Black Sabbath was, like, the first goddamn song on the first fucking album that they ever dropped was basically Ozzy getting dragged down to hell. Like, it's such a fucking dope-ass sad.
And they threw his drunk ass back up.
Yeah.
How the fuck is that man still alive?
Well, you see, Jesse, he is sustained by the power of evil in the world, so as long as there's anime, there will be Ozzy.
You know what's crazy? There's a couple songs on there that were actually, like except for NIB, of course, but were kind of anti-drug. Like, the song Hand of Doom, like, the entire song is just about, like, somebody getting killed because of a drug trip. And if Reagan was not an asshole, if he used Black Sabbath's song to front the war on drugs, there'd be a lot less drug users nowadays.
Yeah, the war on drugs would have been a lot more cool if it had, like, a Black Sabbath soundtrack.
Instead of just a Nickelback soundtrack.
They didn't have Nickelback in the 80s.
Yeah, but Nickelback is the spiritual kind of soundtrack of the war on drugs. Let's be real here.
They went the evil way, though, because they were like, what if we have your favorite cartoon characters tell you to not do drugs? And if you don't do it, you fucking disappoint the Ninja Turtles.
And everyone fucking knows the Ninja Turtles were on drugs. No one lives in a sewer eating that much pizza without, like, being on some fucking substances, let me tell you.
Yeah,
but that's like when you're an adult and you know better. Like, when you're a kid, you're like, man, I don't want to disappoint Michelangelo. You just crying.
I'll disappoint Donatello, because fuck him, but not Michelangelo.
Yeah, Michelangelo's a cool dude.
Michelangelo, he's an OG.
I've only seen one episode of Ninja Turtles, so I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
It's about these turtles that are ninjas.
No, I know. It's a bunch of fucking Ninja Turtles in the sewer, the teenagers. I think I got what I needed to glean from that.
There's a giant rat, too.
His name is Splinter.
Yeah, he looks like my dog.
And they fight Shredder. And saw the one episode wherein, I remember it very well, actually, there was a problem and they went into an alternate timeline where they never existed, or where Shredder won.
Yeah, that sounds drug-fueled to me.
Yeah, and then it was actually really cool because Shredder is just, like, this bureaucrat who has to run the world, and he hates it. And, like, the turtles are just like, we're going to go back to our own time, Shredder, to a world where you don't rule. And he's like, a world where I don't rule? Please take me with you. And they still don't get it. They treat him like shit. They should be taking pity on the poor.
God damn it, I need a notary for this.
I was going to say, like, it would have been cool if they went to, like, the alternate timeline, and, like, Shredder was just, like, mopping floors at fucking Kmart, and for like 24 minutes and commercials, they just stood there pointing and laughing at him.
Ninja Turtles, besides Toxic Avenger, must be the fucking nastiest smelling superheroes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I imagine Deadpool probably smells like an elementary school cafeteria.
Is Swamp Thing a hero?
Yeah, but that's natural.
I guess you ask Alan Moore.
That's natural stink, though. Like, the Ninja Turtles are completely caked in human shit. Used tampons, dead fish, fucking chemicals, and, like, the same thing with Jesse Splinter. That's even worse because it's just clumped in there like one giant dingleberry. Have you ever fucking had a turtle? Like, I owned one, and they smell like garbage. Like, really? Naturally. They're just,
God, imagine what Gamera must smell like.
Ugh. He must smell like one gigantic fucking fart, is what he must smell like.
He smells like meat.
because he's really neat. Yes, filled with turtle meat.
Is there a topic today?
Well, we're recording an intro because, Dylan, you went in the field.
Yes, it's true.
And not to dump a body this time.
No, not this time. So, yeah, I have a coworker who we'll call Dan. And since Dan's not here tonight, that's going to make this story a little bit easier to tell. So worked with Dan for, I don't know, for probably about a year. He works at a firm that I also work at. Stand-up guy. He's from Boston, as you might notice. He's got a little bit of an accent. But thing is, he's got some stories because being from Boston, I mean, Boston's an old city, and there's a lot of history there.
And racism.
I was about to say, they're afraid of a whole nother level of spook over there.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so, yeah, he's got some spooky stories about a house that he knows, and I happen to sit down with him and interview him about it.
Well, without further ado then, here is Dylan interviewing another Dan, not our Dan, Boston Dan, about some spectral encounters. Some, dare I say it, fucking wicked...
Oh, you fucking scary fucks! You think you're so scary, you fucking schmommy bastards!
No, no, I abhor you. Stop.
It's a fucking wicked, spooky, haunting kid!
There's only one green monster, and it's the fucking home of the Sox!
Stop, do that.
You fuck...
It's sad but true. So, this is Dylan reporting from the field of scenic... What county is this? Westchester. Westchester, New York. And I'm here with my coworker, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so Dan, you have some scary stories, or some spooky stories, about an abode.
So I've got a couple. So my girlfriend at the time, now wife, lived in Malden, Massachusetts, in one of her family members' houses.
What's Malden? Never heard of it.
It's 6 miles from downtown Boston. So her family, had, you know, the house has been in the family for at least 50 or 60 years now. And so her cousin Emilio, she's of Italian extraction, if that matters, but her cousin Emilio...
It helps to set the scene.
Exactly. Her cousin Emilio died in the house of... dysentery or one of those old timey diseases that are very cured now.
Okay. Well, when was this been then?
I think we're gonna have to call this say like the '30s.
Okay. Yeah. Right? That sounds about right. 40s for dysentery.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
This is her grandmother's brother.
Okay.
So her whatever ex cousin or whatever.
See, I can't run through what that would be on the top of my head. How old was he when he died?
13.
13. Okay.
So he it died in the home, and I went to visit her one night. I was working as an attorney back in Boston, and I go upstairs. I open the door. She's on the second floor, and I'm talking to her. She's cooking dinner. I'm sitting, talking, and I swear to God, I saw a boy run from one end of the wall to the other, like right through the wall.
Hmm.
Fully formed boy, right, in a white outfit. He looked at me. He smiled. And then he ran through the wall. No giggles like the movies or anything like that. Nothing.
Okay.
I immediately leaped into the air and landed on her. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, this relationship is over. Go ahead and move on. Because I may have urinated in my pants. So she was like, well, what? I'm like, I saw a little boy run through your wall. She's like, oh, it's my cousin Emilio. I'm like, what? She's like, he lives here. I'm like, what are you, a witch? I was freaked out. In my Roman Catholic self, I was goddamn terrified. I'm like, somebody go get me rosary beads. So the later time,
hang on, I have some questions. So a white suit, like what, you mean like a suit or?
Like a communion suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually not familiar with Catholic funeral practices, but they're buried, cremation, either
buried.
Or? Buried? Okay. Would someone usually be buried in white?
Possible.
Okay.
It's possible the boy died like that. I'm not really sure.
Okay, yeah.
Another time, she had a friend named Kamal. Kamal, great guy. But he is of Moroccan extraction, and he is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, long story short, they had like... So, he moved in with her. He had one room, she had the other, and they had like a third kind of bedroom that they used as like a living room or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was in there hanging out one... I'd call it like early evening on a Saturday, and he's having a drink, having a beer, relaxing. And I know.
What a bad Muslim.
Bad Muslim. So he's having a beer, and I'm out with Franny. I took her to dinner or something, and we both start getting rapid text messages. I gotta get out of this fucking house. I gotta get out of this fucking house. And Fran's like, why? He was like, well, I'm sitting there watching TV, and the clicker stops working. So I'm shaking it because I'm thinking maybe it's the batteries. And the clicker immediately goes to the Boston Catholic Television Network, which is just like this. You guys would have an EWTN, which is
all religion all the time deals. Yeah,
yeah. It's
there's
it's
like a million of those.
Yeah, it's like the Catholic channel, but usually the mostly Protestants is only one Catholic one.
I actually have noticed that on Roku. Yeah.
So this switches to the Boston Catholic Television channel, and it was, you know, some priest on the Catholic channel, and the volume goes all the way up, yanked all the way up, but only during the Our Father, which is our preeminent prayer.
Yes. And even though I know that one.
Okay. He was terrified. He was like, I didn't know what to do. I start praying in Arabic. I start praying in English. I'm praying the Father. I'm praying the Hail Mary. I didn't know what to do. I ran out of the house. So he runs out. He's like, I'm wicked sorry. I'm sorry. He was like, all right, I'll convert. Whatever, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. When we got back, he was sitting on the front steps. Now, mind you, it's only funny because if you met the kid, he's 6'5", 250. And, we, you know, I'm whatever I am. I'm like 5'10", you know, 150 pounds. And he's like, you're going in there first. Like, why? He goes, it's one of your own. They won't kill you. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And he's like, don't say that. So, you know, I went in. I was like, oogity boogity boogity. It's good. Come on in. He was fine. And then, so my wife, as I said, we're originally from Boston, Massachusetts. And every New Englander from Connecticut to Maine knows Salem, Mass.
Sure.
On Halloween. I'm practically the whole country. So it's always been our tradition. We don't like to go when the quote-unquote tourists go.
Yeah.
So like Halloween weekend. So we usually go the weekend before. It's still packed. You still get like people from out of town that you get to talk to in bars or whatever. But not, I drank a 30 rack of Natty Light and, you know, my dick's hanging out while I'm walking down the middle of the street and I think that's a costume type craziness, right? So we go up to the psychic fair. Now, my wife is more, I don't want to say psychic sensitive, but, like, she's very sensitive on things like that. I am dull as a brick with all of that shit. I think it's all witchcraft, and I'm terrified of all of it. So
it's not that you don't believe it. It's just that you don't like
no,
it.
No, no. It's that I really believe it, and I'm terrified
see.
Of it. So
see, I have the opposite problem, where I have an anti-magic field, wherein apparently psychic powers just don't fucking work around me. It's
really?
Amazing.
You've been psychic, and
oh,
they just
sure.
never worked on you?
Well, they'll you know, give you the most vague things possible. It's like, yeah, wow, I did meet someone while I was at school. Brilliant. Like,
yeah. I bet you had a girlfriend in the past. Oh, true.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. So we go, and so there's a fair, right? And essentially, you pay one fee, you get in, and you get access to all these different psychics.
I actually was at a psychic fair, or like a, yeah, it was like a tarot fair, like within the last couple of years, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I was scared of going, I'll be honest with you. So I was like, and money bags me. I'm like, all right, I'll pay for you to go in, and you can just do anything you want. So she's like, okay. Anyways, long story short, because she has the balls of the relationship, she goes right in because she may be small, but she's unafraid of everyone. So she goes in, and she's like, I had a connection with this woman. Like, I caught eyes with her, and I had to sit down. So she sits down. The woman says immediately, you're here about your house. And Fran's like, oh, shit, yes, I am. And she's like, so it's haunted by your cousin Emilio. He has a special connection
Wait,
to...
Wait, did she know the name right off the bat?
Knew it right off the bat. And she was like, he has a special connection to your sister, Victoria. Fran has a sister who was, at the time, in college at BU and was living in the house because she didn't want to pay to live on campus because it's wicked expensive. Anyways, we are at the fair. I'm waiting on a bench like an old man waiting for his wife. Fran goes in, sits down with the lady, and basically the lady says, well, you're here, you know, to recap about your house, your cousin Amelia. She's very attached to Victoria because Victoria has a locket that used to be his. And it's like this family locket, and it has a photo of Fran's grandmother, or my, I guess, grandmother-in-law now.
Sure, yeah.
And that was Emilio's sister. He's very, very attached to that. So wherever Victoria goes, Emilio goes. And now I realize Victoria was also in the kitchen when Fran was there. And when I saw him run through the wall, she said he's, you know, he's a young boy. He likes being around your family when he can. Because he likes seeing what you guys are doing in the kitchen and talking and buzzing around laughing. Then she says it's also haunted by the prior owners. And Fran, like, gasped. Because there's a photo Franny took of herself in the mirror. I mean, come on now. Typical 28. She was 28 when I met her. 28-year-old
okay, sure,
girl
yeah.
taking a selfie in the mirror. And in the corner, you can see a man. I was goddamn terrified. I was like, I'll never stay there again. I don't care how hot you are. I don't care what's going to happen after this. I will never stay at your apartment ever again.
So, but did you?
I did, of course. Of course. She's wicked hot. I'm a skinny nerd. What do you think I was going to do? So
good.
Anyways.
Priorities are good.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. I may be scared, but I'm still. So,
we can edit that.
It only heightens the experience. So anyways, the fear of it all. So she showed me the photo, and I didn't see it right off the bat. She has to kind of, like, expand it, close it in, expand it, close it in. But you can kind of see a ghostly-looking face. Right? Mm. Now, again, some of it may be you want to see the face.
Sure. Right? It's real easy to see faces when
absolutely,
our faces.
Absolutely. Also, I was really bad at, like, the, you know, the things you'd see in the dentist's office. Like, pick out the giraffe and this whole crowd full of things. I could never find it.
I don't think I've ever had to pick out a giraffe at the dentist's office. Maybe that's a Massachusetts thing.
Wicked stupid. Anyways, so moving on. So she's like, yeah, that he is there, and he's just like checking after the house because he loved the house. He spent like all of his money on the house, and this is back when Boston was very rural, and he was like some sort of like a guy that worked with his hands. That's all she said. Hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. And then,
but no name on that one?
No name.
That's
no
interesting.
Name. She can't pin a name to him. Hmm. The other one, Emilio, was because it was a familial relationship.
Hmm.
And then we go to a psychic every year, the same one.
Hmm.
And she's been fairly accurate as to, like, even within the last week, she's been, like, right dead on. It freaked me out. And then, it was very, very weird. It's just weird. I don't know. Like, for example, my dad passed away when I was 14, and he was an electrician that worked on a bucket truck, which is like a Con Edison type truck. Hmm. And she's like, every time you see one, that's a sign from your father. And like every single time that I'm stressed out or I have a big thing going on, I'll drive by a bucket truck. It's really, it weirds me out.
Wow.
Yeah, that shit weirds, creeps me out. But, you know, the whole area in Salem, I think you guys should do a story or at least a show or something from there, because it's fucking creepy as shit.
We probably will at some point, although I'll probably wait until we have more of a budget.
I mean, there are legitimate, like, bad entities up there. I mean, there's the whole tourist thing, and then there's, like, if you walk off of Derby Street, like, away from stuff, it gets creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You see people with hard stares, and you're just like, it's a little weird.
People skeptical of outsiders in Massachusetts? Yeah, that is bizarre.
It's my young friend. So, yeah, I told you that other dog one.
Dog?
Fran had a dog that died.
Hmm.
Well, her family did. And she, like, saw it run through her kitchen one time. I know most of these stories are from the kitchen. She just, like, the house is old as fuck, and she just hangs out in the kitchen. So we were having an argument one time. Now, I'm 100% Irish. My wife is 100% Italian. So obviously, we are going to have loud bros.
Sure.
So we do. And you would love it, because it's both in really thick accents. I'm sure SNL would make fun of it for like a year. But anyways, we're arguing one time, and the volume on the TV goes up, goes down, and then the TV goes up, right? And I'm like, what? And she was like, that must be the ghost telling us to stop fighting, right? And I'm like, bullshit. I'm like,
you're not getting out that easy.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck that. Tell that guy to fucking come out here and fight me, right? Immediately the lights get cut. Lights in the room off, and I'm like, now my heart's in my throat, right? And I'm trying not to look scared. And out of the darkness, I see this little 4'11" woman, my wife, go, you scared yet? And I'm like, yep, I'm terrified. And she's like, I think we should go to bed. I'm like, yep, great idea. So we go to bed. And right as we, like, peel back the covers, I say, goodnight, I love you. She says, goodnight, I love you. Roll over, like, facing the other way. The TV comes back on because she likes to watch the TV, like, we have Roku, so, you know, the Roku thing that bounces around the screen? Screensaver, I guess?
Yeah.
She likes that as, like, a nightlight.
Hmm.
But that came on, like, 2 minutes after we sat back down. But no other lights kicked off in the house because I was looking out in the hallway and you could still see the light in the hallway. Terrifying. Just beyond terrifying. It freaks me out to this day. Yet, the house is just insanely haunted. When you go in there, you get a feeling of, like, someone's looking at you. Not in an ominous way. I've never felt unsafe, but I do feel like I'm not alone, which is terrifying. And her cousins had lived there. Like, it's a really family house. Like, her uncle had owned the house for a little while, and then her cousins lived there, and and they moved out, and then she moved in as, like, a renter, da-da-da-da. She rents from her mom and her two uncles. And,
They also report seeing things? Hearing
one of her cousins, Adam, saw a woman walk out of the closet in the middle of the night. Like, he would leave the closet. So my wife's bed was in the back wall, so it's kind of like the door would be, like, there,
mm-hmm.
and the closet would be there. So the door to the closet was just, it's always open because it's like kind of a weird door. You wouldn't close it because it would make everything awkward in the room. And he just saw literally like in the darkness a face appear. Mm. And then the woman just kind of walked right past him. But he was like, again, I didn't feel like she was going to hurt me.
Mm.
It was just kind of like, almost like I was intruding upon her space. So there's that. Yeah.
Very
and yeah, and then we were on our way to Fran and I, same Halloween trip.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our way to the Salem Witch Museum. Now that's the big tourist attraction out there,
yeah.
and they've got all the artifacts from the time, blah blah blah, and big line. So across the street are very very old graves. So everybody's talking, looking, and I look over, and there are three people in black hoods doing what I don't know what they were doing to graves, but they were putting like incense and stuff and smoke on them. Some girl I'm with is very drunk, and she's like, what are they doing? I'm like, don't look at them, they're all witches. So we get inside, and it's animatronic robots. It's very kitsch. And they start talking. Like, the light would shine on what looked like a handmaiden, and she would be like, today is, you know, I don't know, October 1st, mm-hmm. 1692, or whatever. And so they do that whole thing, and afterwards, you get to go into what equates to a museum.
Yeah.
And I think what is a beautiful focus of Salem, Massachusetts, is that they focus on the hysteria as the other, making it like, look how easy it was to make Jews the other in Berlin. Look how easy it was to make, I don't know, Christians the other, or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
And they talk about how forces for quote-unquote good can be turned into quote-unquote evil, and these seven or eight, I think, innocent women were hung.
Mm.
And some of them were like, I apologize, hanged, correct, correct this. They were hanged, and they, you know, 15 years old, these poor things didn't know what they were really doing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's all on hearsay. At the end is a special Halloween special. They had people that practice Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, what had just happened to me outside in the street? I'm terrified. I'm like, this fucking guy's going to put a curse on me. I'm going to end up a cat. I'm like, nope, not happening. So he's shaking everybody's hand. My wife was very nice to him, very gracious. Oh, you know, it was very interesting to hear about your religion and da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, oh, and nice to meet you. And I'm like, ah! And I just literally jumped back and ran out the door. And I regret it to this day.
Yeah, real polite.
It's very, very sad that at 31 years old, I was that terrified of him. I was like, ah, he's going to do something. Right up. And Fran just looks at me when we get outside, and she's like, you are an A-grade actor. You really are. There's my story for you, all right?
And they're good stories. Now, question, though, we've talked about this on our own, but now, in the Catholic tradition, there are ghosts.
Yes.
As opposed to the Protestant tradition in which ghosts are actually demons.
Correct.
So what's your take on exactly, like, so why is the, say, Emilio, for example, why is he here instead of in the hereafter?
So there's a difference between my catechism and what I believe now.
Mm.
My catechism would teach me that. There's a reason why Emilio hasn't fully gone through the light or to heaven, whatever you want to say. He hasn't made it all the way in catechism because of, you know, various, I guess, something he has to do or prayers or alms or whatever. Somebody's got to get him in there, right?
Mm. But can you do that incidentally after you're dead, or does somebody have to do it for you, like a posthumous last rites kind of a deal?
It'd be a posthumous last rites type situation. That's why we always do prayers for the dead at Mass. But I think that what it was is maybe you can split your time, or maybe you can just come down when you want.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, heaven is an ethereal place, if you will. Heaven is a, I don't want to say a state of mind, but it's beyond our intellectual capacity, at least in my understanding, to understand. So maybe you can just be like, nah, I'm going to pop down to earth for a little while.
Hmm.
I'm going to pop back. Or maybe heaven is within our reality. It's, you know, like we're working in 3D and it's in 4D. I don't know. But I refuse to believe that a 13-year-old boy could have committed any sort of egregious act that resulted in him not getting there. But yeah, I don't want to say I believe in ghosts. I do believe that for some reason, some people might get stuck here, or maybe not fully, like I said, ascend or go through the light. You know, if you listen to ghost talker type people, they'll say that some people may not realize they're dead. Mm-hmm. Like, what if you're driving along and then bang, splat, you're dead? Mm-hmm. You may not immediately know you're dead. Mm-hmm. And that could take a long time.
We talked on the show, or at least we've recorded episodes. I don't know if we ever actually published one. I forget off the top of my head about people who, victims of natural disasters, frequently don't realize that they're dead and then will be reported. This is in Japan, actually, after huge goddamn disasters. Will get in a taxi, and there was one woman who asked the taxi, like, she gave the address to where she wanted to go, and the driver's like, there's nothing there. Like, that place was utterly annihilated in the tsunami. And she was like, oh, have I died? And then you would look behind, there'd be nothing there.
Right. I mean,
but the fares would be running.
Like, somebody's paying that bill. We're going to a PayPal account. But I mean, look at somebody like in Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up, wow, it's a bright light, and then you're ash, mm-hmm. right? Who knows? You know? But I don't think that belief in ghosts and belief in heaven are incompatible. Mm-hmm. Because if you believe in ghosts, you believe in a soul or mm-hmm. something that outlasts the body.
Sure.
Right? Whatever you want to say, an essence or mm-hmm. whatever. And if you believe in that, then isn't there a place for that to go? Isn't there a collection of those? Mm-hmm. Or are they all just floating around? Who knows? I will say that changed my mind on the whole. Is there anything after this? After this. After this.